Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. You have your Bible. Go to Psalm 37 tonight. Psalm 37. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pastor Marvin said he picked in on my notes. I said, well, glory to God, you know. I left my notes back there in the speaker's room. And we did that on purpose, though. We just, you know, we just trust the Lord to lead us. But we do prepare notes, and then we leave them back there. But God is so good. You know, He is the God who sees everything in our lives. He's the God who looks ahead, and then He provides. I know on what we're speaking on, the subject we're going to speak on tonight, the title of this message is The God Who's More Than Enough. Look at somebody and tell them, my God is more than enough. Yeah, yeah, mean it. Look at somebody else, tell them, my God's not just enough. He calls Himself more than enough. I call Him what He calls Himself. He's the God who's more than enough in my life. Oh, preach that word. Y'all preaching that word. He's the God who's more than enough. On Friday, you know, so many of our plans were interrupted, you know. Anybody ever had a day and seemed like all your plans got interrupted on that day? On Friday, so many things, you know. Some of them were just our fault. Like, for example, I was supposed to get up at 4 o'clock and go to the gym this past Friday. Slept through. Now, I don't usually sleep through. Well, I got up and hit my snooze, and it was all over after I hit the snooze. Yes, Lord. I was supposed to be at the gym. I didn't wake up till 7 a.m. I got over that pretty quick. That one didn't bother me too bad. But no, we came on to work Friday. We were supposed to work a half day on Friday. And then three of my buddies had agreed with me that we were going to meet out on the golf course. I was supposed to work a half day, then meet those jokers out on the golf course on Friday, you know. And just about the time I was supposed to leave, someone called, had a problem in the church office. So we stayed to help with that problem. By the time we got that resolved, it was too late to go play golf. I went on to the grocery store. But the Lord made us a blessing. We found somebody to be a blessing to at the grocery store. It was all good, you know. And then, later Friday afternoon, one of my friends, he's a pastor, he called a couple weeks ago. He said, man, I really want to bounce some things off you. Want to know if you'll have dinner with me. Let's just have dinner. I can bounce some things off of you. And so I said, sure, we agreed we're going to meet Friday night, 4:30. And so 4:27, I'm sitting in the parking lot there waiting on getting ready to get out the car. My buddy called and he said, oh, man, please forgive me. I ain't going to be able to make it. And I said, oh, buddy, no problem, no problem, you know. And so I was just going to go home because I didn't feel like going in there and eat by myself, you know. And so I was just going to go home. It just seemed like you ought to go on in there anyway. And so I thought, well, you know, I don't really want to go in there. But it just seemed like I should go on in that restaurant anyway. So I did. I was getting out of the car. It just seemed like I should take my Bible, my iPad in there with me. So I just took my Bible, my iPad, found a quiet corner of the restaurant and sat down, started reading the Bible. Started reading the Bible. Man, scripture started coming at me and verses started coming at me. And, you know, I'm not scheduled to speak here till next Sunday night. And, you know, and so this is Friday night, you know, and these scriptures and verses are coming. And so I just started writing it down. And man, you know, just like pow, 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 you know, the Lord just gave me this sermon so fast. You know, I couldn't look up scriptures as fast as they were coming and on my mind and heart. And I'm looking up scriptures and the Lord just gave me this whole sermon while I was sitting there having my dinner, you know. And I said, well, Father, maybe I don't know when that'll fit. Maybe it'll fit 2 weeks from now. I'm not speaking for 2 weeks, so maybe it'll fit then. You know, if so, great. If not, I'll tuck it away until it fits someplace till we find out where. How many believe God has a message for each service? He has something He wants to accomplish in each service. I said, God, He's a God of organization. He knows what He's doing. He's just looking for a yielded vessel so He can get His message through, get His word through, accomplish His ministry, whatever it is He wants to do. Can you say amen to that? And so, you know, we said, Lord, well, maybe it'll fit in 2 weeks, whatever. And so we just wrote out the whole sermon and then put it up and finished up our supper and we went on home, you know, didn't think nothing about it. But then when Brother Tad called and said he was going to be speaking in Oklahoma City instead of speaking here tonight, and then he asked, you know, we could speak tonight in his stead while he's speaking in Oklahoma City. Then it just hit me, man, Lord, you are so good. Because he already knew that was going to happen. And so he already tried to prepare me and get me ready. You understand what I'm saying? He gave me a whole message. So then I still asked him, now, Lord, that don't mean it's for tonight. Don't mean it's for tonight. But is that what you want? Is that what you have? And he said, oh, yeah, that's what it is. That I got to go. I got a green light in my spirit. I'm ahead of you. God said, I'm ahead of you. How many of you know he's ahead of you? He's way out ahead of you. And he knows what he's doing. I said, if he can get us to cooperate. I said, amen. What's the title of this message? You help me now. I got half of you. The God who's more than enough. I said, he's the God who's more than enough. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Now, you know me by now. I love the New American Standard Version. Often I'm reading New American Standard. That's my favorite version. But sometimes when we minister in New Living Translation. Tonight, we're going to shake it all up. I'm going to read from the New American Standard. But all of these scriptures I'm giving to you, I studied in today's Passion Translation. Anybody ever heard of the Passion Translation? Yeah. And so I'm going to quote them New American Standard, and then we'll convert them in the Passion Translation. That's the way I was reading them over dinner, if that's all right with you. Psalm 37, then. Psalm 37. Let's go to the word. He's the God who's more than enough. Psalm 37, 19. New American Standard, it says this. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the days of famine, they will have abundance. He said, in the days of famine, they will have abundance. That same scripture, Psalm 37, 19, in the Passion Translation, says this. Even in a time of disaster, he will watch over them, and they will always have more than enough, no matter what happens. I said, how many can say amen to that scripture? I'm going to read that again. Y'all didn't give me no amen on that Passion Translation. 37:19, Psalm 37:19, Passion Translation. Even in the time of disaster, he will watch over them, and they will always have more than enough, no matter what happens. I said, even if you face disaster, God is more than enough. I said, even if you face trial, trouble, or tribulation, persecution, God is more than enough. I said, he's more than enough to see you through. I wish I had one amen. He's more than enough to provide for you. He's more than enough to see about you. He's more than enough to take care of your needs. He's more than enough to open doors. I'm looking for an amen in this place. I said, he's more than enough. I said, he's the God who's more than enough. Aren't you glad about that? He's not just enough. He's more than enough. Even when trouble comes, he's more than enough. When calamity comes, he's more than enough. And so my first point is when times are hard, yeah, he's still more than enough. Go over to Psalm 46 and verse 1. Psalm 46 and verse 1. 46 verse 1. New American Standard says it this way. God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. I like that scripture. He's not just present. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. Anybody in here, you ever found God to be a very present help in the time of trouble? Glory be to God. In the Passion Translation, it says this, Psalm 46, verse 1, in the Passion Translation. We're talking about when times get hard. This is our first point. When times get hard, he's the God who's more than enough. That's the point we're making. He said, what point are you making? He said, when times get hard, he's still the God who's more than enough. Sometimes people think because they're going through a tough time, God is suddenly not able to provide more than enough. But even in your tough time, he's more than enough. Passion Translation, Psalm 46 and verse 1. You are a proven help in the time of trouble. You're more than enough and always available whenever I need you. That was so good. I'm going to read that to you again in the Passion Translation. I'm going to read it to you one more time. You're a proven help in the time of trouble. You're more than enough and always available whenever I need you. I like that. When times get hard, God, he's more than enough. Go to Romans 16, Romans 16 and 25, Romans 16 and 25. When times get hard, he's more than enough. Romans 16 and 25. How many glad God's more than enough? He's more. Your God, your Father, He's not just enough. He's more than enough. Have you ever been in a situation where it looked like you were going to go under? It looked like it was going to be your calamity, your demise. It looked like it was going to be your ruin. It looked like there was no way out of it. But the God who's more than enough rose up in your situation and he saw you through. In spite of all the doubters and the naysayers, in spite of all the problems and statistics, in spite of the negative reports, the God who's more than enough, hey, he has the ability and the willingness and the desire to see his people through. When times get hard, that's our first point. When times get hard, he's still the God who's more than enough. When times get hard, he's the God who's more than enough. I remember 5 years ago when my precious bride, my wife left, when she left me. I remember that 5 years ago. Oh man, that's hard times. I had never been through no time like that. But I found out that he's the God who's more than enough. Woo! In my calamity, I found out he's the God who'll lift you up. He's the God who'll hold you up. He's the God who'll prop you up. He's the God who's, I can't get no amen in here. He's the God who'll see you through. I said, I find out that he's the God who's more than enough. I found out he was not just enough. He was more than enough. I found out he's enough in the night season. You can't get no amen teaching like that. I said, he's the God who's more than enough. I found out he'll see you through. When calamity comes and when things you hadn't anticipated happen, hey, he's the God who's bigger than your problem. Get your eye off your problem. Get your eye on your God. But why? He's the God who's more than enough. I said, he's not just enough. He's more than enough. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Woo, hallelujah. He's more than enough. Remember when I got the call 5 years ago, my dad died. Right around the same, just before my wife left, my dad died. I remember getting the call. But I found out that he's the God who's more than enough. I said, he's got more than enough comfort to see you through. I said, he's got more than enough peace to see you through. I said, he's got more than enough grace to see you through. I said, he's got more than enough provision to see you through. Somebody said, well, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I lost my job. Hey, he's the God who's more than enough. He can give you a job that's better than the job that you had. I said, your job is not your source. Your job is just a resource. But when you consider him your source, hey, he's more than enough. Oh, yes, he is. I said, he's more than enough. When times get hard, he's the God who's more than enough. Over in Romans 16:25, it says this in the New American Standard. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. I like that. God is able to establish us. He's, in other words, he's able to make us stand. In other words, he's able to give us everything we need to get through it. He's able to establish us. This Romans 16:25 in the Passion Translation says, I give all my praise and glory to the one who has more than enough power to make you strong. I give all my praise and glory, I'm reading it again, to the one who has more than enough power to make you strong and keep you steadfast through the promises of the good news. God's got more than enough power to make you stand. You know, sometimes when you go through hard times, it gets hard. When you go through hard times, if you're not careful, it can get tough living for Christ. Sometimes people go through hard times, they back up on their commitment to Christ. And all of a sudden, they're not walking with God as strongly as they were. And that's what the enemy intends. That's what he hopes. He can't do anything about it. He can't make us do anything. Thank God, Jesus freed us from his tyranny. But he's hoping we'll just forfeit the victory. Hoping we'll just sulk long enough. Hoping we'll just have a pity party long enough. Hoping we'll just be discouraged long enough. Oh, but when you realize that you serve a God and he has called himself the God who's more than enough. It doesn't matter what you're going through. He's the God who's more than enough. I said, he's the God who's bigger than the problem. The God bigger than the pain. The God bigger than your hurt. The God bigger than what they did to you. Hey, he's the God who's more than enough. I wish I had one amen in here. He's the God who's more than enough. And he will see you through.
And so he's got more than enough power to make you strong. He's got more than enough power to make you stand. God's got the power to make you strong, and God's got the power to make you stand. And the question is, will you believe it tonight? Will you receive it and believe it tonight? Because when times get hard, the Lord is there to see you through. The Lord is there to see you through. Sometimes when times get hard, it gets hard to give. People stop giving when times get hard. Well, preacher, please move on. Please don't say nothing about that. Please go to your second point. Leave the first point, please. We'll give you another amen if you don't go there. Please don't go there. Sometimes people stop living for Christ when times get hard. And sometimes people stop giving to Christ when times get hard. Don't be fooled. Don't be tricked by the enemy. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through 9. 2 Corinthians then, chapter 9, verse 7 through 9. He's the God who's more than enough. What's your first point? When times get hard, he's still the God who's more than enough. Chapter 9, verse 7 through 9. 7 says, New American Standard, each one must do just as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad and he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now in the Passion chant, I'm just going to do verse 8. I'll just translate verse 8 in the Passion Translation. Listen to this. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, today's Passion Translation. You will have more than enough of everything, every moment, and in every way, and he will make you overflow with abundance. I like that. Going to read it to you one more time. You will have more than enough of everything, every moment, in every way, and he will make you overflow with abundance. I said he's the God who's more than enough. And let me tell you, when you get down to your, when you get down to you, to you feel like you're at your last and you feel like, hey, I'm down to I'm going to eat my seed. Don't eat your seed. Plant that seed. I said, if that seed, there's different purposes. There's different purposes for everything. And when God gives you something to sustain you, eat what he gives you to sustain you. But when he gives you something to plant, you better plant that. Somebody said, I don't have anything to plant. Oh, yes, you do. Last year, I was looking out the window of my home, and gentlemen were cutting my grass and trimming my yard, and it was so hot out there. And I was saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you, because really, JP and I should be out there in the heat, and thank you. Then the Lord took me back in my mind more than a decade before, and he showed me my neighbor. This was... You know, now this is my third home here, but my first home we bought, Mrs. Musgrave, she lived right next to me. Sweet little saint of a lady lived right next to me. Her husband died and she couldn't cut her grass. And I remember when the Lord spoke to me and said, you are to cut that grass every week. As I looked out the window, saw her, she was pulling on her Toro lawnmower. And the Lord said, no, that's you. You go do that like that's your yard. I never forget that. And so I told my oldest son, Stephen, every week we're gonna cut her grass. I'll never forget that. And Stephen and I cut her grass. My other neighbor on the other side, he pulled up in his truck. He said, what are y'all doing? Turn the lawnmower off. I said, we decided to cut Mrs. Musgrave's grass. We're gonna cut her yard every week. He said, I want a piece of that. He said, I want a piece of it. He said, let me give me whatever. I'll take an alternate week from you all. Whatever alternate week, I want a piece of it. I want in. So we said, okay, we let him in on it. But the Lord reminded me, you're here in this air conditioning because when it was time for you to plant that seed, you allowed me to use you. You allowed me to use you in the heat so that my saint, Mrs. Musgrave, didn't have to cut her grass. I said, there's seed to sow. And when God, when he gives you seed to sow, don't eat the seed, plant it. You see, God's going to always sustain you. Eat what he gives you to sustain you. But when he gives you seed that's to sow, you better plant that. I said, you have the ability to make bread. God may tell you, make your neighbor some bread. God may tell you somebody's going through a hard time. You ought to make them some fresh bread and give them a little card and just blah. You can't get no amen teaching like that. I'm talking about planting seed. When times get hard, people stop giving sometimes. And you can't let the enemy, deceive you into doing that, because you'll clog up your harvest doing that. Don't eat your seed, plant it. Years ago, I remember I was buying a suit. And I was in line, and I had, you know, had my suit all ready to pay for. I'm in line, and a little preacher was right in front of me, and he was paying for his suit. He had everything. He had suit, shirt, ties. I think he had socks up there, and had everything. Yeah, I said, ooh, he's going to be clean. He's going to be clean in front of his congregation. Everything looked nice, you know. And so he went to pay, and the guy gave him the price, and he was adding up his money, but he was short. He didn't have enough money. You know, that broke my heart. Then he said, I'll put the tie back. I'll put the tie back. And so he took a step to go put the tie back, because the cashier said, okay, go put the tie back. And so I said, no. I said, I heard you say you was a preacher. Come on back up here. Put that tie on my account. Let me pay for the tie. I'll buy the tie. And he said, you sure, man? You sure? I said, oh, yeah, I'm definitely sure. I want you to look sharp. That looked too good not to have that tie. You need to have that tie on with that, you know. And back during the days when we wore ties, and man, you know, I was somehow, it was probably about 2-3 months after that, I was doing a funeral for someone, and I had on a tie, and one of the relatives, they lived out of town. They came to me and they just said, that was a wonderful service. And I said, thank you, you know, glory to God. And they said, we love your tie. And I said, oh, well, thank you, glory to God. And they said, well, where'd you get that? And I told them where I got it. And you know, the next week they sent me a box that had 10 silk ties in it. Beautiful ties. I mean, sharp, but what I call bad tie, clean, you know. 10 silk ties, expensive ties, you know. Yeah. I said, God has seed for you to sow. And when it's seed, don't eat the seed, sow it, plant it. Don't eat your harvest, because God has a harvest for you. And so when times get hard, let's move quick. Let's go to my second point. What's your second point, brother? When hearing gets hard, you're in 2 Corinthians 9. Go over to 2 Corinthians 12. Paul's talking about a thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12. And then verse is 7 through 10. I'm going to read it real quick. And then we'll give you verse 9 in the Passion Translation. When hearing, this is our second point. What was your first point again? When times get hard. What about when times get hard? He's still the God who's more than enough. What are you saying now? When hearing gets hard. Sometimes when it gets hard to hear the Lord, when it gets hard to hear his voice, or when it gets hard to see what he's doing in your life, he's still the God who's more than enough. Paul had what he described, a thorn in the flesh. Verse 7, we're in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. Somebody says, what was the thorn? Well, he tells you right here, a messenger of Satan. The thorn was a messenger of Satan to torment me. It was a harassing demon spirit sent to torment him, harass him. A messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord. Now listen, he say, I asked the Lord. I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses and insults, with distresses, persecutions, difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Verse 9, he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Let me quote verse 9 now in the Passion Translation. My grace is always more than enough for you. My power finds its full expression through your weakness. I like that. God says, no matter what you're going through, my grace is always more than enough for you. My power finds its expression through your weakness. What's your second point here? Oh, when it gets hard to hear, when hearing is hard, when he went, sometimes, you know, Paul said, I had a problem. He said, I prayed to the Lord three times about it. And then the Lord told me, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, whenever God tells us that his grace is sufficient, it means he's already won the victory. If we'll just rely on the word. In other words, if we'll get his promises in our heart, get his word coming out of our mouth, we'll walk right on through to the victory. His grace will give us the strength to do everything we need. Said his grace is sufficient. Sometimes when you're praying about something, Paul here, he prayed about this three times. And the Lord gave him that word, my grace is sufficient. And there are times you may feel like, man, I've prayed about something, I don't see the answer yet. And God may give you the answer. His grace is sufficient. Let me tell you this. First of all, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says about our feelings. You know, we're not to be led by feelings. We're not to be led by our thinking. We're not to be led by human reasoning. We're not to be led by our feelings. The Bible said, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, we walk by faith, not by feelings. We can't be led by our feelings. God has designed it for us to be led by the Holy Spirit. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. So, but there are times in our lives when it may be hard or difficult to hear. Sometimes it's difficult for people to hear from the Lord because they're not spending enough time in his word. You can't get no amen making a point like that as a preacher. I said, sometimes it's just the fact that somebody's not spending enough time in his word. Because if we don't spend an appropriate amount of time in his word, then we're not going to hear from the Lord the way we should, because he's always connected to his word. Amen. The word is always God speaking to me. You want a ready word from the Lord? Get in the book. Put your head in this book. I said, God's word is always a word. It's always God speaking to you. Amen. And sometimes people don't hear. They're not hearing more from God because their head is not in the book enough. Sometimes people don't hear more from God because they already have their mind made up on what they want to do. They don't want to hear God's answer because they already determined what they want to do. Can't get no amen as a preacher teaching on that. Listen, sometimes there are people that they don't hear from God enough, or they feel like I'm not hearing from God enough. And the reason is God's already told them what to do, and God already told them what to do, and they're not being faithful to do what God already told them to do. If you're having trouble hearing from God, first of all, get your head in the book and let the word of God be your final authority. But secondly, listen, if you're having issues, you feel like, man, it's hard hearing from the Lord. Listen, make sure you're doing the last thing you know he told you to do. Yes. Said, be faithful doing the last thing that he told you to do. Because you may have gotten off track. You may have stopped doing something that he told you to do. And now he's waiting for you to come back to the road, come back to the main road. And then he starts speaking to you again. So you can't get no amen teaching like that. That's good navigation preaching. When I set my navigation unit, I get in my car, set my navigation unit, and that thing will tell me where to go. Now, if I go the other way, it won't say nothing. And after a while, it'll say, proceed to the route. Big head? No, don't say that. I imagine it said that. No, it said proceed. After a while, it just say proceed to the route. But the moment I get up there and get back on the route, it said, blah, 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 start talking where I'm supposed to go. But the whole while I'm zigging and zagging and off the beaten path, I'm doing my own thing. I think I ain't saying nothing. And sometimes people's relationship with the Lord is like that. He's waiting for you to get back on the route. You say, what route? The route that he told you to get on. The last thing that he told you to do. I said, amen. When times get hard, when hearing gets hard, I tell you, so often we talk about them, you know, for example, God doesn't, he doesn't always tell us everything. He tells us so many things, but remember this, God, like 2 Corinthians 5:7, he will never tell us everything. Thank God for what he does tell us, but he don't tell us everything. You read in Genesis about the life of Joseph. God showed Joseph that beautiful palace, how he was going to be ruling and reigning in the palace. He never showed him the pit. He never showed him the prison. That dream showed him the palace, but he never saw that. God didn't show him nothing about that pit, nothing about that prison. You know why? He said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient to get you through the pit. the pits of life. My grace is sufficient to get you through through the prison. My grace is sufficient to get you onto the palace. Get my word in your heart and get my word coming out of your mouth. I said amen. And so when it's hard to hear, when hearing gets hard, and look, let's run real quick. Look, when work gets hard, number three, what's your third point now? When work gets hard, go with me. Proverbs 27:25. Proverbs 27:25. We're going to leave there running. Proverbs 27:25. We'll leave there running to the book of Colossians. Proverbs 27:25. Listen to it in the New American Standard. What's your third point now? When work gets hard, when times get hard, when hearing gets hard, he's still the God who's more than enough. When your work gets hard, he's still the God who's more than enough. When the grass, verse 25, Proverbs 27:25, when the grass disappears, the new growth is seen. And the herbs of the mountain are gathered in. The lambs will be for your clothing. Goats will bring the price of a field. There will be goat's milk enough for your food and the food of your household and sustenance for your maidens. Now that same scripture, Proverbs 27:25-27, listen to it in the Passion Translation. I particularly like this. Take care of your responsibilities and be diligent in your business, and you will have more than enough of an abundance of food and clothing and plenty for your household. I'm going to read that one more time. I didn't get one. Amen. Take care of your responsibilities. Take care of your responsibilities. Be diligent in your business, and you will have more than enough of an abundance of food and clothing and plenty for your household. You know, through hard work, God expects us always to work hard. You want abundance in your life? One way to get abundance is to work hard. Can't get no amen teaching that. I said, when they call you for overtime down at the job, you need to go on down there. If you're believing God for extra money, they call you for overtime, you need to go on in there. I said, amen. If you're believing God for abundance, you're believing God for extra, and they call you for overtime and you sitting home on the sofa, something's wrong. But guess what? Faith without works is dead. And you want God's abundance. You want God's harvest. You want an abundance in your life. Hey, what is that? That's hard work. Hard work. Now we have to stay in balance, but that's hard work. I said, amen. I said, there's a blessing to hard work. Can't get no amen. I said, there's a reward to hard work. Can't get no big amen. I said, hard work is the will of God. Y'all just trying to get rid of a preacher now. The last amen wasn't sincere. Go with me to Colossians 3. Colossians 3:23-24. We're running now. We're running. Colossians 3:23-24. Man, when work gets hard, from the book of Colossians now, we're back over in the New Testament. Colossians 3:23-24. New American Standard only here. We'll just quote New American Standard. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. But that whole aspect there, look, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. You say, well, you don't know my boss. I don't have to know your boss. The Bible says do your job like you're working for the Lord, just like the Lord was your boss. How would you work? How would you show up tomorrow for work if Jesus were your supervisor? Well, you can't get no amen teaching like that. I said, when work gets hard, listen, you say, well, I got a problem with my boss. Well, listen, you ought to learn how to respect your boss's position. If you can't respect the person, you better respect the position. You can't get no amen teaching like this. I said, hard work will pay off. Hard work will bring God's abundance upon you. Hard work will make the God who's more than enough show up at your doorstep. I said, amen. But how you approach your job, how you approach your job. Well, let's go to our final point and slide into home here. Look, when hearts get hard, this is our fourth point, our conclusion here. Look, when hearts get hard, Hebrews 3:15, you know what God tells us? He encourages us not to let our heart get hard. Don't let our heart get hard. Hebrews 3 and 15. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as when they provoked me. Over in Mark 8, 17, Jesus is talking about the miracle. Go with me there. That's our last scripture. Mark 8, 17. Mark 8, 17. We'll end here. Mark 8, 17. You can write down Romans 5:20. We would have gone to Romans 5:20. We're not going to go there. You can just write that down. Mark 8, though, and 17. Mark 8 and 17. It says this. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet understand? Do you have a hardened heart? What he was talking about, look down at verse 20. When I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said to him, seven. And he was saying to them, do you not yet understand? And Jesus is talking about the miracles he did. Here in chapter 8, he feeds 4,000 people, and they were just counting men. They are not counting the women and children. And in chapter 6 of Mark, he fed 5,000 people, and there was a principle that he taught them, that he's the God who's more than enough. When they had just a few fish and a few loaves of bread, he took what they had, and then he multiplied it. Later, when they had no bread, when they actually forgot bread, and what we just read in Mark 8:17, they forgot bread. They forgot their bread. And so what he said, they got into a debate over who forgot it, which of the disciples forgot it. And he had just said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They realized they forgot the bread. They were blaming each other. When Jesus said, wait a minute, why are you debating about who forgot the bread? Don't you remember the miracle that we just did? Don't you remember the principle that I was trying to teach you? He said, don't you get that? Has your heart gotten hardened? And see, when you hear the word, when you or I hear the word, but then we don't respond, our heart will get hard. The danger of hearing this word tonight and then sitting in your seat when God moves upon you is that your heart will get hardened. He asked the disciples right there what I read. Did your hearts get hard? Are your hearts hardened after that? They had heard the word, but they weren't applying the word. I don't know what you face tonight. I don't know what you're going through. I just know this, the Lord wanted me to convey upon you that he is the God who's more than enough. No matter how dark your situation may be, no matter how distraught you may be, no matter how in pain you may be, he's the God who's more than enough. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter how wrong they did you. It doesn't matter what situation you find yourself in tonight. He's the God who's more than enough. And tonight, if you'll get his word in your heart and get his promises coming out of your mouth, the God who's more than enough will show up in your life and provide everything that you need. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, tonight, as we end this message, we do so, Father God, asking you to speak to heart, speak to your people. And Father, we ask you to speak to any person in here who's not living in a right relationship with you. Anybody here, Father God, who doesn't know you, who has never received Jesus as their Savior and Lord, speak, Father, to their heart. Anybody here who has given their life to you, but is now in some type of backslidden condition where they're not living with Jesus as their Lord, Father, speak to hearts in here. Father, someone with some human condition that needs prayer, speak to hearts. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never made that greatest of all decisions to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. If you're here and you should die tonight, what would happen to you? Are you assured of heaven? Are you assured of eternity? Are you sure you would go there? If you're not, I'm talking to you. If you're not 100% sure that if you were to die tonight, you would go to heaven, I'm talking to you right now. Every head's bowed, except for the ushers. Stand up and help me, ushers. Every other head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Are you here tonight? You say, I want prayer. I need prayer. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior and Lord. I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for me. I want to ask him to forgive my sins. I've never done that. Never understood what that meant. Anybody here? Are you here tonight? And you say, you know what? Brother Bill, I prayed to receive Jesus before, but I'm not living for God the way I'm supposed to be. I'm not living my life the way I'm supposed to be. Let me see your hand in here. Say, pray for me, Brother Bill. I know I'm not living the way I'm supposed to be. Thank you. I see your hand. I know that there's something tugging at my heart. It's not something tugging at your heart. It's someone. And he's God, the Holy Spirit. He's trying to get your attention because God loves you. The Bible says this, his kindness leads us to repentance. Oh, but if you shrug him off, if you push him off, your heart will get harder. Your heart will get hardened. Anybody else here? You say, I know I'm not living for God. And I know the Lord is speaking to me. He's tugging at my heart. I know I need prayer. I know I need to get it right. I know I need to make it right with God. Let me see your hand. I'll pray for you. Oh, God's going to touch you. God's going to help you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you, on any of those invitations, if you've never prayed to receive Jesus, or if you've prayed before, but you know you're not living right, oh, God's going to help you. He's going to help you. Here's what we want you to do. I'm going to count to three. I just want you to stand up on your feet when I get to three. One, get ready. I want you to get everything out of your mind. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Oh, two, get everybody else and everything else off your mind. Get ready for God to move in your life. Three, just stand right up on your feet. Just stand right up on your feet. Your hand was in the air or your hand should have been in the air. Just stand right up on your feet. Just stand right up on your feet. Just boldly stand right up on your feet. Now I want you just to come down here. Just step out in the aisle. Come down here and let me pray for you. I'm going to do what I said. I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah. God's going to restore you. God's going to get it right. Just come right on down here. Just going to pray for you. Come right on down here. God's going to help you. Oh, he's going to help you. Oh, he's going to give you his grace. Just come right on down here. He's going to help you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to make it right. God's going to make it right. Just come right on down here. That's right. Just come right on down here. Let him help you. Let him help you. God sees the sincerity of your heart. You can't be asking God to help you, and then when he moves on you, you don't come. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Come right here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on now. God's speaking to your heart. Hallelujah. 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 Just lift one hand to the Lord. Praise God. Just lift one hand to the Lord. I'm going to pray out loud, and then you pray this prayer after me. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I just give you my heart. I give you my life. I surrender complete control to you. I ask you to take me in, to forgive me, to restore me. I will live for you with all of my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, you see this honest heart. I thank you, Father, for total, complete restoration. I thank you, Father God, for turning ashes into joy and mourning into joy and sorrow into joy. And Father, I thank you for total restoration. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.